Last week, if you were here, you received the My Time with God journal. This is the journal that we put together here as a church. Looks good, doesn't it? I mean, that's almost like professional. It's hard to believe New Song did that, isn't it? And this is intended to help you slow down and experience God. So each day, you have a chapter to read. And then one of the things that we want you to do as you slow down is to look for what God would want to say to you, whether it's through the journal or the devotional book that you're reading, or whether it's through the Bible or through your prayer time. But God, what is it you want to say to me? And there's a place for you to write. And then an action. Not only what I want to learn and understand, but what, God, do you want me to do with that today? Because oftentimes we get it here, but we don't put it into action. And then on the right-hand side, there's a place for you to journal, write what's going on in your life, however you want to use that, that's there. And I think this is going to be a great tool for us this year. But you know what? That's not the point. I also told you to pick up a devotional book. I gave you this option, Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, which is words. She puts the phrases them as if God is speaking to us. We used this a couple years ago, and it's a powerful tool. But that is not the point. Experiencing God, we used a few years ago, and Henry Blackaby gives us insights on experiencing God and applying it to our lives. And that's an option back there. But that's not the point. My Utmost for His Highest, I love this devotional. It'll challenge you. I've used it I don't know how many years, and it challenges me every single time. I have to read it through twice just to allow the Holy Spirit to really speak. But that's not the point. C.S. Lewis, a number of you got this. Some of you sound like you're regretting it. Because you got to have your thinking cap on to use this. He's deep, but he's worth it. And I love C.S. Lewis. I love everything he writes. So if you've got this, be patient with it. Use it. Allow God to speak to you through it. But that's not the point either. And then I told you to get the ESV Study Bible. And we're going to look some more at this in the weeks ahead. The ESV Study Bible gives you not only the words, but also it gives you introduction. It gives you to each one of the books. It also has a whole bunch of notes at the bottom that gives you the cultural understanding, the background, the environment, all the stuff that will help you understand what's there. The point is to help you slow down and listen to what God has to say. But that's not the point either. The point is God, and it's about relationship with God. And I've been making some false assumptions, assuming that everybody has a time with God. And as I just pay attention, I realize not everybody does. Some people hit or miss, they have good intentions, but for some reason, they just don't have a time with God. I've also been making the false assumption that when you do have a time with God, it's something that you enjoy. And what I've realized is that some people see it as a duty. It's something that they have to do because God and Pastor Herb tells us we have to do it. I've also been making the false assumption that even those who do have a quiet time have not really come to understand the loving God that we have and have a pleasure in spending time with him. And the way that I know that I've been making these false assumptions is because I see us turning to other things instead of God. We lean towards substitutes instead of leaning towards God. We struggle with having that time, and so we choose to do other things. And we say that we don't have time for God. We or we're not, we spend time with God in that moment in the morning, but it becomes a compartment of our lives and we go through the rest of our days and he doesn't kind of crack our thinking or our feeling. And as a result, the spiritual lives of some people are lukewarm at best and struggling or almost non-existent at worst. You see, well, you can't come on Sunday morning and get your tank filled and go the rest of the week. That's not what it's about. That's not the point. The point is relationship with God. And we cannot have the kind of relationship that God wants. We cannot be the church that God wants us to be. The leadership team cannot function the way that they need to function. The governance board cannot function the way they need to function. Small group leaders can't do what they need to do. Children's workers can't do what they want to do with the Spirit of God flowing through them, making a difference in our lives and other people's lives, unless we're spending time with God. It's an impossibility. And we choose how we want to spend our time. You know, one of the things I hear, Pastor Herb, you're a full-time Christian. You're a professional Christian. You got time to spend time with God. My life is busy too, you know. We decide how we want. We choose what we want to do. And it's not just a problem with God. We choose to do what we want to do, whether we want to spend time with our loved ones or we want to do what we want to do. And it's not all bad things that get in the way. For people who have been Christian for a while, it's not usually the bad stuff that tempt us. It's the distractions that get in the way. But we do what we really want to do. We can watch a 3-hour sports game or go on a 3-hour shopping trip. But then we might say, well, I don't have time to spend with God. We can chat on the phone with a friend or spend time on Facebook or surf the internet. But then we can say, well, I don't really have time to spend time with God. I can do jigsaw puzzles, read a novel, watch a TV show, but I might say that I don't have time to spend time with God. I can spend hours working in the yard to keep up with the Joneses or working around the house to keep it ultra clean. But then say that I don't have time to spend with God. Now, I want you to stop and think, because I'm not here to scold you or try to make you feel bad. I want you to experience the pleasure of having a relationship with God that only comes by spending time with Him. So I want you to stop and think, what is your tendency to turn to? What is it that tends to take your time so that you end up at the end of the day not having spent time with God? It can be good things, but what is it? What is your tendency? Because we all have them. The devil tries to distract us at every turn. So there's nothing wrong with those things in and of ourselves. In and of themselves, it's if we don't prioritize spending time with God. And beyond spending time with God, it's not a compartment where, okay, if I go to worship on Sunday and if I spend time with God, and then our journal, I recommend starting with 15 minutes, working your way up to 30, so you have adequate time to spend with God. That's not a compartment, but rather that should be the activity whereby we so connect with God that it sends us into our day with the sense of His presence so that whatever's happening, we have a sense of His presence that we turn to, that we're communicating with. And when things go wrong, our immediate response is to go to God. When things go well, our immediate response is to thank God for it. When struggles in our family, our immediate response is to stop and say, let's take this to God. Let's ask Him what He wants. Or let's ask Him to touch this person or heal this person. It's about this personal relationship with God. You need to see the real God and what He offers when we spend time with Him. You see, I have a very hard time believing that if we really, really, really knew the God who loves us, who longs for us, who's been with us every step of the way, who died for us, who offers everything that we long for, who sent his Holy Spirit, who he wants to fill us so that we see through his eyes and we feel with his heart and we live in connection with him. If we really, 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 really believe the God that we talk about, we wouldn't want to miss that time with God. Nobody would have to force us or remind us. We would want to spend time with him. Here's a thumbnail of what he offers. He offers to us, this God of the universe offers to us life here and hereafter, real life. In John chapter 17, verse 3, he says, "This is eternal life, that they know you." And when he says eternal life, he's not talking about when we die and when we go to heaven. That's eternal life. He's talking about life right now that starts in our hearts when we accept Christ as Savior. It's eternal, but it begins right now. And it comes as we know him, that they may know you. That's where life comes from. Better life than we can imagine. Jesus said in John 10:10, the second half of the verse, he says, "I came that they can have real and eternal life." Real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. You see, the devil tries to trick us into thinking the meaning, the pleasure, all the good things that we're looking for comes from getting stuff in this world. And Jesus says, that's not where it comes from at all. That's good stuff that we could add value to. But real life, meaningful life, life that is more than we can imagine comes from knowing him. And we have to spend time with him to get that. His joy, regardless of the circumstances. John 15:11, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy can be full." That your life, every day, your joy, not happiness. It's not what he's talking about, because happiness comes and goes. You're going to go through ups and downs. But regardless of the circumstances, he says, his joy is that deep soul resonating pleasure and peace and confidence. That whatever comes, I don't have to worry about because God's in control. Joy. Everything we need in life through knowing him. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things, everything that pertain to this life and to godliness, living the life, the spiritual life. How? Through the knowledge of him. And he's not talking about knowing the facts about him, but knowing him in personal relationship. Through the knowledge of him, knowing him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Now, anybody here want to raise your hand and say, "I don't want that"? No, because this is what appeals to us. But it doesn't happen. We don't get it unless we spend time with him in a way that helps us to know him deeply. I've had the privilege for the last almost 30 years of knowing the comedian and professional speaker Ken Davis. I've showed you some of his video clips. And so for almost 30 years, I've known him. And I love watching him on the stage. I laugh harder than I laugh hard. You know, he just cracks me up. A story I've heard 15 times just cracks me up, even though I know what's coming word for word. I just love watching him perform. But I also have come to sit across the table from him in this friendship that only develops over a period of time of working together to do something significant. I love knowing about him, but I love knowing him better. And there's a difference. And I think the majority of Christians know about God, but they haven't come to know in personal relationship. Because when you do, when you understand that, you will want to be with him. If we don't spend time with God, if we choose something else, we end up striving for the opposite of what God offers to us, and we will reap the consequences of that. We will experience exactly the opposite. We're either moving toward God or we're moving away from God. When you spend time with God in relationship, you're moving towards him. If you're not spending time in personal relationship, you are moving away from him. There's no neutrality. You can't stay stagnant. So I don't think what is needed is to try to convince you to have a quiet time. You should have one. But if I just convince you and show you the technical way to have a quiet time, that'll last for a while because you'll do it because you feel guilty, but then it'll fade. I think what will drive us is if I can convince you to know that God really is the person you want to spend time with. Audience participation. What are the qualities of someone? If I told you, I want you to spend time with my friend, one of my best friends growing up, Jim. I want you to spend time with him. What would convince you, what qualities about Jim would convince you that you would want to spend time with him? What kinds of things would be appealing that you would want to sit down across the table and maybe go on a trip with him? Trustworthiness? Having fun together, absolutely. Good listener. What? Respectful? What else? Takes an interest in you. Protection? Yeah, he's there. He'll watch over you. What else? Personality. Yeah, you don't want him to be a wet rag, right? You want him to enjoy being with him. Someone who will encourage you, right? Or someone who will tell you the truth when you need to hear the truth. You know, I have friends who will always tell me what they think I want to hear. And that doesn't help me if I'm headed off a cliff. That's a nice cliff, Herb. Keep walking. I don't need that. I need people who will say, that's a cliff, Herb. Let's turn around. People who add value to us. People who, when we spend time with them, when we leave, we feel better for it. We feel like there's value added. If there's a person like that, you want to spend time with them, right? And you can't spend enough time with them. And you long to spend more time with them. That's Jesus. But if you spent time with Jim, you wouldn't experience all of that the first meeting. You wouldn't experience that with him, even if you saw him a couple times a month. You'd only experience that if you had enough time that you got to know him and the relationship went deeper and stronger. And suddenly you want to be with them. And I think that's what we need to see. You see, Jesus is who and what you long for. It's who everybody longs for. The world is looking for Jesus, and they're turning to everything else that they think will make them happy. Success, money, prosperity, alcohol, drugs, pornography, shopping, food, they're turning to all these kinds of things thinking that that will make them happy. But Jesus is the one you want. Jesus is what you're looking for. Jesus is what makes your life meaningful. Jesus is who makes you come alive. And spending time with Jesus is the only way. And so all of these things are tools to help you spend time in personal relationship with Jesus. So I got to thinking, well, how do I do that? And I can't tell you how frustrated I've been the last 2 days because I know I can't convince you. So my prayer is that you will hear the Holy Spirit speaking as we look at the different pictures of the different qualities of Jesus, what Jesus offers. And it will be so appealing to you that you will want to spend time with him. And you will do whatever it takes to have that time. So what will convince you to spend time with Jesus? Here are his characteristics. He's a shepherd. He's our shepherd. Will you say, oh, I'm not a sheep, I don't need to. Yeah, you are. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. But that's not the end of it. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything that I really long for. You see, the shepherd would lead the sheep to everything they needed. That's what Jesus will do for us. Now, wouldn't we want to spend time with someone who will give you everything you need? The bread of life, Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Well, what does bread represent? It represents food, and if you don't eat, you die, right? And so Jesus says, I am the one who will give you life. I am the bread of life. And if you are hungry and you're willing to seek me, I will give you that life. I will satisfy the hunger that you have. You see, everybody has an ache in their lives. We look at the Apostle Paul, and we see that he was successful at every level, but there was still a longing. He didn't have the bread. He didn't have life because he was about religion instead of relationship. And it wasn't until Jesus came and confronted him and he opened himself and he found the bread of life that that longing was filled. He said he would be a light to our steps. A light to our steps. Have you ever had a hard decision to make? Everybody shake your head yes, because every single one of you have had a hard decision to make. And the pressure is on because you want to make the right decision because this decision has consequences that you don't know the future of. But what if you had a God who loved you who said, I will light your path. And so when you have decisions to make, I will help you. And if you start to make a bad decision, and if you make a bad decision, I will be there to make sure you're going the right way. If you will follow my light. And how do we follow his light? By, say it after me, spending time with Jesus. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. You won't be stumbling around not knowing what to do, but he will open the way. You will have the light of life. Safety. He says, I'll keep you safe. We live in uncertain times, don't we? I heard this morning in Digging Deeper that Hawaii thought they were going to be bombed. Was it yesterday? How would you like to have been sitting on that island thinking that a nuclear bomb is coming? I tell you, I wish I could have been there because you would be able to tell those whose trust was in God and those whose wasn't. Not who said their trust was in God, but who had trust in God. Because if you know Jesus and you trust in him and you're on the island when the bomb is coming, you go, it's graduation day. It's celebration. I don't have anything to fear. I can run toward danger. He said he would be our safety. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn, power, the horn of salvation, my stronghold. Nothing can ever overwhelm us if we have Jesus as our guide. Back in 1985, I owned a Dodge Diplomat. Anybody know what that was? Yes, just send your condolences my way. We went out to Oklahoma City to visit Sheila's sister. We had two young kids, 3 and not quite 1-year-old. And we drove out to Oklahoma City, and it was fine. We turned around, and we were driving back. And prior to this trip, there was a guy in our church who owned a parts store, and he said, he looked at the car that I was driving. He goes, Herb, you need to come down to the shop and buy a ballast resistor. I said, a what? A ballast resistor. He said, you don't have to know what it is, just trust me. Take it, put it in your glove box, because you're going to need it someday. And then he opened the hood, he said, just take it out, it's kind of like a battery, just take it out, put it back in, but trust me, you are going to need it. So we're traveling back from Oklahoma City, and with 2 little kids, in February, in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, the Dodge Diplomat goes, pull it off the side of the road, and I go, now what am I going to do? A voice said, ballast resistor. It wasn't my voice, because I have nothing to do with cars. And I thought, okay, it was the Holy Spirit. So I reached in the glove box, got that $4 ballast resistor, opened up the hood, took the old one out, put the new one in, closed the hood, vroom, off I went. Now, if God had not motivated Dale to tell me to buy a ballast resistor, if I had not listened and bought the ballast resistor, and if I had not been paying attention to the Holy Spirit when he said, it's the ballast resistor, I would have been stuck alongside of the road with two little kids at about 10 degrees. But God is our rock. God is our protector. God is our provider. But unless we're spending time with him, we don't recognize his voice, and we're not paying attention. We think we got to figure it out. He is our safety. He is our way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the way to the Father, and I am the way to everything good in your life. I am the truth. The truth, not just biblical truth, but the truth of everything in life and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I'm offering you the way, the truth, and the life. He's the life who flows through us. In John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, lives in me, stays attached to me, is allowing his life to flow through me. He will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. He's saying, I want you to be at home with me. And if you will spend time with me, my life will flow through you so that you can produce the fruit that you need, that your spouse needs, your marriage needs, your children need, your work needs, you need in every way. You see, God is saying to us, I want relationship with you. Watch this video. It's a song that I love. I couldn't find one with pictures, but I want you to listen to this as the voice of God reaching out to you. Go ahead.
Both know you're not all right, and that's okay. Why don't you let me love you? Oh, you don't have to prove a thing. Why don't you let me love you? For who you are, not who you are. Why don't you let me love you? Oh, you don't have to prove a thing. Why don't you let me love you? For who you are, not who you should be. Let me love you, and I will let you.
You see, when God invites us to have that time, spend that time with Him every day, that's what He's asking for. He's not asking us to prove anything. He's not asking us to earn His favor or His love. He just wants to be with us and pour out on us all that He offers. But you don't get it unless you're in His presence. You don't get it unless you're spending time with Him. Another characteristic, which will blow your mind if you really get your mind wrapped around it, is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, where it says God wants to be intimate with us. He's talking about what wives and Christian wives and husbands should do in response to each other with respect and love. And then in Ephesians 5, 31, he says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church, us, the church. He says, I want to have a relationship that is so close, so intimate, that the picture of what I gave Adam and Eve in the garden is the picture of what I want in relationship with you. The closeness, the joy, the pleasure, the love. There are times when I just sense God says, just come and be with me. Just come sit with me. Just come kneel before me. And I can't tell you the pleasure and the joy, the lightness that comes to my heart. Sometimes I weep just, I don't know why. It's just being in the presence of God. That's what He wants. And when you understand that, when you know Him that way, He doesn't have to drive you to Himself. He just says, come be with me. And you go, oh, yes. He wants to be a loving father. John chapter 15, 7 and 9. If you abide in me, live in me. And my words abide in you. What I tell you when you're spending that time with me, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I want you to have my heart so much that what you're asking for is exactly what I want to give you. By this, my Father is glorified. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. A providing father. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Just keep on asking. And the indication, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. Spend time with me in my presence. He says, or which one of you, if his son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? Anybody? Well, there are days when it might cross your mind. Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a serpent? No. He says, if you then, who are evil, not even close to anywhere close to who God is, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is loving, who is in heaven, who is perfect, will give good things to those who ask Him. He will give us good things. He will provide for us when we need it. I mean, think about it. The God who turned water into wine, who multiplied fish, who sent Peter out and got a coin out of the mouth of a fish to pay his taxes, will provide for us. He can do it. He will do it. Friend of sinners, turn to the person beside you and say, that's one you need. Friend of sinners, there are times when you will go to God and you will feel like garbage because you have betrayed Him, you have turned your back on Him, you have sinned against Him. And in those times, He is not there to scold you. He's saying the same thing. Come, let me love you. It'll be different because we need to take care of that. But if you come with a repentant heart, if you come asking for me for forgiveness, I am a friend of sinners. Jesus reveled in that term. Luke 7:34, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. When you feel like you mess up royalty and you feel like you can't go in the presence of God, you need to go because he's saying, come, let me love you in this. He will be our champion, our protector. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, the God that is saying, come, let me love you, is on your side. He is for you. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. Oh, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He wants to give you everything that you need. Everything. I'm not talking about name it and claim it and getting a bigger house and a bigger... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the life and all of those things that we talked about. The joy, all those good things that he wants to give to us. Jump down. It says, Jesus is interceding for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And here we go. See if you can think of anything that's not included here. Who can separate us? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. Pretty much covers it. As is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. By spending time, by listening to God when he says, come let me love you, by spending time with him, allowing him to work in our lives, coming to know him in that intimacy and love, he will make you more than conquerors. Nothing can touch you. Of all those, that's just a touching the tip of the iceberg. Now, wouldn't you want to spend time with a God like that? Are there any of those characteristics that you wouldn't want? Is there anything that is left out that you need in life? Then what is it that causes us to turn to other things? To spend time in other things instead of time with God? To turn to make us feel better when stuff happens instead of turning to God? I'll tell you what it is. The devil is trying to lie to you. The devil is trying to distract you. The devil has gotten you into this habit of naturally turning to other things instead of turning to God. The only way to turn that around is to spend time with him. You see, the point is relationship, deep, intimate relationship. So some of you are saying, I can't believe he threw the Bible on the ground. He's going to hell. Well, I did that too. But this is not the point. It's the relationship that this provides. Amen. This word is powerful, strong. In every one of these devotional books, I lost one over here. Every one of these devotional books will touch your heart, will point you to Jesus when you open your heart and let him do it. But they're not the point. Jesus is the point. The relationship is the point. And as much effort and energy as we put into this and tried to make this a wonderful tool, and it is a great tool, we'll talk more about it next week. It's not the point, but it can lead you to the point, and the point is Jesus. So I challenge you to commit for the rest of your life to spend time with Jesus. Now, understand, there are going to be days when everybody's sick in the house and you can't get, don't throw up for 30 minutes. I'm going to go over here. There are going to be days like that. In fact, we even built Saturday into this journal as a day to catch up because life happens. Well, what I'm asking you to do is, other than that, commit to spending time with Jesus. My recommendation, start with 15 minutes if you're not having a quiet time now. And in this In this journal, in the early pages, there's an outline of a sample time to spend with God. Sample appointment with God. Start there and work with it. Remember, that's not the point. The point is Jesus. The point is Jesus wants to be with you. So my challenge is, if you want what God has to offer, make the commitment to spend time with Jesus. Not to check it off your to-do list, but to get to know him as your intimate, loving God and Father. Would you bow your heads? This morning in the C.S. Lewis devotional book, he talked about how God shows himself to those who are ready to listen. Oswald Chambers, in My Utmost, talked about how being in God's presence gives you the opportunity to hear what he wants to say. It's amazing how when God wants to say something, he says it in so many different ways. Would you make the commitment to God that you will spend time with him, that you will carve it out somehow, some way, to be with him, to let him love you and you love him back? If that's your desire, I'm going to ask you to do two things. The first is, right where you are, say, God, I make that commitment to spend time with you every day. Secondly, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as an outward, physical commitment to say, God, short of emergencies, short of difficulties, I'm going to spend time with you. Anybody else? Lord, I pray for each one of these folks, because we know the devil will come against it and he'll try to distract us and get us off track, because the last thing he wants is for us to be in intimate relationship with you. So I pray for your protection. I pray that you would give them the spiritual determination, that you would give them the physical reminders, that you would give them the ability to really be in your presence, not just go through the motions. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would work, affirm, care, and strengthen them. Lord, it's by your power that we can do anything that is of spiritual value. So I pray your power, I call upon your power to be with each one of them, and that you would transform us so that we just love being with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you